Hare Krishna. Welcome all of you on behalf of Prabhupada to the Sunday Love Feast. Who's here for the first time? Sorry to ask you for the second time the same question. First time, anybody else? Okay. So, in the ancient teachings of India, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, the importance of the human form of life is stressed very much. Of course, the ancient Vedic scriptures, the yoga texts of India, they respect all forms of life, not just human beings. But human form is very special in the sense it can award highest perfection. In the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, this 5-year-old transcendentalist, he says, Durlabha Manusha Janma Tadapi Adruvam Artadam. That he says that the human form of life is temporary, but it can award you the greatest benefit. So it's very rare and very special. So we have this human form of life, and it's very rare, it's very special, but the time is limited. We have a limited time in this body. So we have to find out what to do with that time, limited time. Just like Jesus said in the Bible that, you know, nobody builds homes on bridges. Bridges meant for crossing from one side to another. Similarly, human form of life is like a bridge between this material world and the spiritual world. It's like a transit launch. Imagine you land in Singapore or something, and then you decide you want to build a house in the airport. It's crazy, but that's what we do. That's what we do, every one of us, that we are here for a short term, but we want to settle here. We want to make a permanent situation in a temporary place. That's craziness. It's like Prabhupada gives one example of this great yogi. This yogi was actually like living for like long time, like hundreds and hundreds of years, and he was just living in the beach. So his disciples asked him, like, you know, our guru, my dear guru, would you like us to build a house for you? And this person said, what's the point? You know, life is so short, you know, what's the need of all these things? So human form of life is meant for purification. Purification of the heart, purification of the consciousness. And human form of life, we are supposed to attain self-realization and to understand, you know, to attain self-realization, to understand deep spiritual subjects, it's not a cheap thing. We have to invest. We have to invest. We have to work for it. Just like anything valuable in this world, it's not free, it's not cheap. If you get anything cheap, then, you know, we also take it cheap. So God realization, self-realization, it's not cheap. We have to, there's a process, there's a science. Just like externally, for cleanliness, to clean ourselves, you know, we take shower, you know, we do laundry, all these things, just to externally stay clean. Similarly, there is actually a process for cleansing internally, for internal cleansing, for cleansing our consciousness. But the problem is, these things are not discussed. Not many people care about it or know the science. Therefore, there are so many problems. We look around in this world. There's so many problems because internally the world stinks. no cleanliness. And everybody is like malnutritioned, spiritually speaking. Everybody is starving. Therefore, there is so many craziness going on in this world. Just like in the past, our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, they'll actually be surprised if they meet somebody misbehaving. And if they meet somebody nice, they will consider that normal. Now it's the other way around. You know, you meet somebody nice, you're surprised. My God, you know, what's this? It's like a rare person, you know. And if you get robbed or, you know, people spit on you or curse you or, you know, road rage or you name it, you know, you think it's normal, you know. That's because there is nobody takes time to for the internal cleansing. So this Krishna consciousness is a process through which we can actually get spiritual nourishment, we can get spiritual strength, and we can cleanse our consciousness. It's a scientific process. And the beauty of this process is it's not very difficult. It's very joyful and the process is very easy. We sing, we dance, and we take spiritual foodstuffs in offer to Krishna. It's a very joyful process. Our founder of this Krishna movement, Prabhupada, when he was a young man, there was an astrologer that predicted that he would actually build a home the whole world will live in together. Because in the material platform, you know, we can never get along, but on the spiritual platform, we can all come together. Everyone in this room, you know, looks different from a different background. But we can all come together and joyfully celebrate any time of the day. We actually start 4:30 a.m. every day. So, this is the beauty of this Krishna movement. It's very special. There are so many examples of how so many people's lives have been transformed for good in the history by practicing Krishna consciousness. But even I was reading recently, this example was very touching. Just like, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when, you know, there was this person, his life changed for good, and he was sharing this experience. There was this person, this young man in India, and he was so poor that he would just go and steal, and he wanted to get arrested and go to jail. Because at least in jail, they give you like, you know, some food and clothing and so on. So he felt like it's better off to be in the prison, to be in the jail. And this young man, like 15, 16 year old, he would just go around pickpocketing or doing something, you know. So when he was in the jail, he was asked to actually empty the dumpsters, empty the garbage bins. And he was doing that, and then he came across this book, one small book, magazine from the Hare Krishna movement. It's called The Back to Godhead. I know everybody is thinking he read the book and he got changed, but he didn't read the book. He just looked at the book. He found it in the garbage bin. He looked at it. It was an English magazine. This was in India. He couldn't even read it. But there was a photo of Prabhupada in the front cover. And he was really attracted. He was not attracted to Prabhupada, but he was attracted to Prabhupada's watch. Prabhupada was actually wearing a Rolex gold watch. So he was really, really tempted. He made it a mission. He would do this. This young man, he would think, okay, when I get out, I got to get back in. So he would plan ahead what to do. So he made it his mission to find this person and steal this watch. So sure enough, as soon as he got released, he found out from the Back to Godhead magazine where the center was, the Hare Krishna center. So he showed up. He showed up at the center and there were many devotees. But he was pointing to Prabhupada and said, "Where is he?" And they thought, everybody thought, wow, you know, this is very rare. In those days, now we have so many Indian following in Krishna movement. In those days, they were only Westerners that Prabhupada came and cultivated in the West and brought with him to India. They were running the centers. So it's all Americans and Europeans. So they were surprised, wow, finally one Indian boy showed up, you know. So they were taking care of him so nicely. And he kept asking, "Where is Prabhupada? Where is Prabhupada?" They didn't understand what he wanted. They said, "You know, actually he's in another city, but he'll be here soon. In the meantime, you know, we'll give you a change of clothes and nice food and accommodation. And you can shave your head and we'll take care of you." But this boy became very restless. He says, I want to go see Prabhupada. Because he was so enthusiastic, they actually gave him some train money and told him which city he's in. From Mumbai, he went to Hyderabad to meet with Prabhupada. And the same thing happened. Prabhupada was actually giving a talk, and this boy with so much enthusiasm, he came and sat in the front row. And he was shaved up, and he had tilak, he had this, you know, robes. And Prabhupada was surprised, wow, one Indian boy already like, looking transformed and, you know, blissful. So Prabhupada gave him a lot of attention. And this boy's motivation was he kept looking at the watch. But Prabhupada was so impressed and pleased with him. And he stayed a few days with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was glorifying him, saying, "Wow, you're a rare soul, you know. Thank you for dedicating your youth for loving God and learning about God." And Prabhupada was giving so much mercy. And in the presence of the saintly person, he couldn't resist. So this boy told him the truth. This boy said, "Actually, you know what? I'm not here for Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "What are you here for?" He said, "I'm here for your Rolex watch." And Prabhupada said, "That's all you want?" Prabhupada took it off. Prabhupada took off his watch and gave it to this boy. But the boy said, hang on. "Actually, in the few days I'm with the devotees and eating spiritual food and, you know, hearing the sound vibration, I actually lost my desire. I don't want the watch anymore." And he was so moved by Prabhupada's, you know, being in the presence of Prabhupada. He actually had few rupees in his hand, so he went actually to a store to buy Prabhupada a chocolate bar. He bought this, in India it's very famous, called five star chocolate. It's expensive, but he brought to Prabhupada, you know. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, "Oh, this is cocoa. We don't eat cocoa." It's a mild stimulant. And Prabhupada actually took him and made him this amazing halwa in the kitchen. Prabhupada said, "Oh, you like to eat sweets? We don't buy these kind of candies and stuff. It's not healthy, it's cheap, but I will show you how to make halwa." So Prabhupada with his own hands made him halwa in the kitchen. And this boy was so impressed, and this boy said to Prabhupada, "Oh, I actually have to go back to Bombay." Prabhupada said, "What's the rush?" He said, "I promised the devotees in Bombay that I will see you and come right back." There was Giriraj Maharaj was there in Mumbai cultivating this boy. So Prabhupada said, "Yeah, that's very important to be to keep your word. Never break your promise." So Prabhupada allowed him to go back. And then Prabhupada actually came to Mumbai. And Prabhupada was surprised to see this boy making nice progress in spiritual life. And Prabhupada was actually giving initiation. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada was giving initiation. And this boy told his kitchen in charge, he was serving in the kitchen, he begged his in charge, said, you know, please let me go, I want to see what the initiation looked like. And he came from the kitchen just to be in the initiation, you know, how the spiritual master accepts the disciple in the fire sacrifice. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, oh, you're not getting initiated? To this boy, you know, that was a thief. And he said, no. Prabhupada said, come, you can get initiated. And Prabhupada asked him, do you have beads? Like, you know, we have this kind of beads. This boy said, no, I don't have beads. So Prabhupada personally wanted to give his beads. And Prabhupada asked him, do you know what the four rules are? And this boy said, I don't know. And Prabhupada looked at Giriraj Maharaj and said, you didn't tell him the rules? Maharaj did tell him, but this boy forgot in anxiety and nervous. And he said, what are the four rules? And Prabhupada asked him, what name should I give you? And this boy said, oh, Giriraj Swami calls me Haridas. And Prabhupada said, okay, that's your name. Your name is Haridas. And gave him initiation right then and there. And then this boy was in anxiety, this devotee, Haridas. He ran back in the kitchen. And the kitchen in charge is asking, you know, why it took so long for you? What you were doing? And this boy said, oh, I got initiated. And the cook almost fainted, like, what? So yeah, I got initiated. Prabhupada just called me forward and gave me initiation. He accepted me as his disciple. And the kitchen in charge said, what are you doing here? You go back and, you know, participate in the yajna. We don't need you here. It's a special day for you. So he went back and he participated in the initiation. And he was so enthusiastic to serve. The first service Prabhupada gave him was Prabhupada would be translating Bhagavatam at night. As we know, those of us we know, Prabhupada slept very little. He would take like, you know, 2 hours rest, 3 hours rest at night, and then he would rise and start translating these books, these beautiful books that we have. And there were so many street dogs at night, they were just like barking and howling, it was making so much disturbance. So Prabhupada gave this service to this young devotee, Haridas, said, your job is to chase the dogs all night. They're howling. Prabhupada would be like translating the books, you know, this boy would be like chasing them all night with a stick. So with this, you know, humble service and association, prasadam, chanting, with a simple process, somebody, you know, even though their motivations were completely different, you know, somebody wanted to come and steal, especially if you're from Indian background, 40 years ago, you go to a temple to steal, that means you're really off. You don't do that, you know. You know that what kind of karma is involved, especially you go to a saint like Prabhupada and you wanted to steal. But even such person with, you know, this kind of motivation, just in a little association with devotees, you know, his heart changed, became completely transformed. He was no longer interested in any watch or, you know, anything. He just wanted to fall in love with Krishna. So this is the position. Most people in this world are actually innocent. But because there is no guidance, there is lack of proper guidance, there is so much chaos in this world. Even an innocent person does all kinds of horrible activities, just because they're not guided, there's no process of purification. There's no process of purification. That's the unfortunate thing about this age. The age we live in, it's mostly materialistic people. Because Bhagavatam says, it's the responsibility of the parents, it's the responsibility of the teachers, it's the responsibility of a guru, it's the responsibility of our, you know, leaders like presidents and demigods. It's their responsibility to guide us in the path of self-realization. But where do you get that kind of teachings nowadays? Which parents, you know, tells you like, you know, you gotta stop eating meat and all kinds of, you know, sinful activities, and you have to meditate on the Supreme, you know, serve God, love God, and go and mix with like God-loving people. Which president tells you, which teacher tells you? Basically, we're just like orphans, we're just like no guidance. But most people are innocent. Most people are innocent. So, the age we live in, it's predominated by like materialistic people. But there is still hope. It's explained, just like even if it's heavy rain, if somebody is holding a big umbrella and they call you, come on in, then you go in. Even though it's, the rain didn't stop for you, but you're not getting affected by the rain. Similarly, we live in this time, this age we live in, it's very materialistic. But Krishna has appeared in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and he's holding this golden umbrella, this chanting, and he's welcoming anyone who wants to come and participate. And by taking part in this chanting, we can actually be protected. We can cleanse our consciousness and we can get spiritual strength just by this simple activity. That's the idea of these temples all around the world. Prabhupada opened 108 temples. But now there are like over 500 temples. But the idea is not to go and, you know, socialize, but to be serious about spirituality. So that's the good thing. This age, you have a combination of good and bad going on. If we have to use our free will to choose the right thing. It's like this beautiful example from the Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, there's this pastime where actually it's Bhima. There are five brothers, the hero of the Bhagavad Gita, we know Arjuna, and he's got four brothers. So altogether there are five of them, they're called the Pancha Pandavas. All of them are extraordinary personalities. Each one of them are famous. So Arjuna's elder brothers, they're Bhima and Yudhisthir. And Bhima was actually guarding this Yudhisthir's room, because Yudhisthir was the king. He was a very important person, and he was guarding. And people were constantly coming to meet with the king. And Bhima was supposed to guard them and prevent any nonsense persons from going in. And this one person approached Bhima. And this person asked Bhima, I have a question. I want to go in and ask your brother, the king. Bhima said, actually, he's very, very busy. You can ask me. And this person asked him a question. And this person said, on my way here, I saw that, you know, the fence is eating the crops. The fence is eating all the paddy. Can you explain to me what that means? And Bhima was like confused. He didn't know, like, you know what? You know, what are you talking about? He couldn't answer, so he let him in to go and ask my brother. So that person went in. few minutes later, there was another person came with another mysterious question. And this person's question was, he said that, you know, I have a question I want to ask your brother. And Bhima said, you can ask me. Maybe I can answer you. And this person's question was, there was a bucket of water. And the bucket of water was poured into 5 jugs. And it filled the jugs. But then when you poured the water from the jugs back into the bucket, it was not even half full. How was that? What's the mathematics here, you know? And Bhima couldn't answer that. Bhima said, you know, it's really confusing. You're like the second guy today. So go in, you know, go and ask my brother. So that person went in. And a few minutes later, another person approached Bhima and said, I want to speak to your brother, the king. He said, oh, he's really busy today. Can I help you? And this person said, I have a question. He said, there was a hole and the elephant went into the hole, but his tail got stuck. The tail couldn't go inside the hole. So can you explain to me what that means? So Bhima was thinking, you know, how is that possible? A huge elephant was able to pass through the hole, but the tail couldn't get in. So again, it was mysterious. So Bhima said, I don't know. You can ask my brother. And a few minutes later, the last person came and he said, you know, I have a question. I want to ask your brother. And Bhima said, maybe I can help you. He's really busy. He said, okay. There was this thin string and one person actually pulled a mountain with this thin string. Can you explain that? How is that possible? Bhima said, you know, I don't know. You can go and ask my brother. So later Bhima actually went to Maharaj Yudhisthira and said, did you hear the questions of these personalities? And Maharaj Yudhisthira, he said, yeah, I did. So can you explain to me, like, you know, what's the answer? It's really confusing. And Yudhisthira said, yeah, the first thing is, all these questions are actually connected to this age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy we live in. All these questions explain how crazy this time we live in is. The first question is, the fence is eating the crop, which means the people, the leaders, the kings and the presidents and the police, whoever's supposed to protect us, they're actually like sucking our blood of the people. So that's what the question meant. We all have, in those days, you were surprised, like, because there were very little happening of this, but now, we don't need to convince any of you that, you know, the police can be abusive or the president can be abusive. We all have so much experience. It's a true story, but it's very funny. In India, there is this highway robbers. They stopped a bus and they wanted to like plunder the bus and of all the valuables. So they stopped the bus, they got inside the bus, they took all the valuables from people. And they went outside and they were counting to see what's the value of all the things they looted. And then they quickly came back in the bus and gave back everything they stole. And one guy was surprised. He said, like, why are you giving back all our stuff? You guys are supposed to be thieves. And the thief explained, you know, we counted and it came only up to like 50,000. But this news will actually come in the newspaper tomorrow, and then we have to pay the police 200,000. So it's not even worth it, you know. We can't afford to lose money, so they just gave back their stuff and left. So this is the kind of, you know, situation we are living. So that was the first point, how the fence is eating the crops. The second one was, the bucket was able to fill 5 jugs, but when you pour back the water from the jugs, the bucket is not getting full. That means the parents, they're doing so much for the children. But when it comes time for the children to take care of the parents, there is no reciprocation. Usually, like, you know, we want our parents to take care of us and give all kinds of facilities, but when it's time for us to take care of them, we look for nice old age homes, you know, to put them in. We don't want to see, you know, especially in our society, you know, we don't want to see old people. It's kind of counterproductive to be materialistic, you know. If you see old age and disease and death, it makes you think, you know. So we don't want to see old people. Like it's Chanakya Pandit says, this one great scholar, Krishna conscious scholar, he says, if you want to make progress in material life, just think, don't think about death. But if you want to make progress spiritually, just think you're going to die any moment. Death can come any moment. So that's the answer. The jugs, when you pour back in the bucket, it's not filling, it's not matching. And this question about the elephant, the elephant was able to pass through. It's like the big leaders and musicians and movie stars and politicians. We all know that, you know, their behavior is almost like criminal, but they're able to get away with it. But people, you know, pickpockets and homeless and prostitutes and drunkards, they end up in jail. All the jails are filled with this kind of people that didn't do much. So that's like, you know, the elephant able to get in, but the tail can't get in. This is the situation. It's like Prabhupada tells this story of Alexander. Alexander the Great, they caught one thief in his kingdom and they wanted to cane him so many times till he dies. So this thief said, can I have an audience with the king? Can I talk with the king? And he was given permission. So he went to Alexander, this petty thief, he went to the king and said, you know what? There's no difference between you and me. We both are thieves. But you're just like going around with army and you dress nicely and you're doing things in a polished way. I'm just a crude thief. Why you're so mean to me? You know, we're doing the same thing. And the king said, yeah, this guy is intelligent, you know, let him go. So that's like, you know, the elephant able to pass, but the tail can pass. And the last question was how a thin string is able to pull down the mountain. The mountain is compared to this age of Kali, this age of quarrel and hypocrisy we live in, and all the, you know, horrible, bad karmic activities that goes on, and all the materialistic desires we have, and very little interest in spirituality. You know, so much disturbance, everybody's... This age of Kali, the qualifications are mentioned in Bhagavatam. It's a big list. It says that, you know, we are lazy, we are quarrelsome, we are always disturbed in mind. So many things, we are short-lived, our memory is short. So many disqualifications we have. So that's compared to like a mountain. And the holy name, the spiritual sound vibration, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, is very easy to perform. You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to perform. So in that sense, it's like a thin string that pulls down this big mountain of this materialistic time we live in. So this was the... answer given by Yudhisthira to his brother Bhima, explaining how, you know, the age we live in, it's actually not a very good time for spiritual progress. Just like, you know, I was living in New Zealand, It's very hard to grow like, you know, coconut and corn and this kind of tropical things because the weather doesn't allow. Similarly, the age of Kali, the time we live in, it's kind of difficult to make spiritual progress. People are easily cheated. Even though the Hare Krishna mantra, it's very easy. People very rarely attracted to spirituality. When they do, they get cheated. Like right now, my friends are in India. They have this Kumbh Mela. All kinds of people come there, you know. Tantriks and Nagababas and Mayavadis and Yogis and just, you know, Indian version of homeless people. So many things. But if you don't have any spiritual knowledge what to look for, you're just bewildered. Anybody with dreadlocks and ashes and scary looking, you think you must be like really spiritual. And you're cheated. But this Hare Krishna mantra is actually very, very authentic and very, very potent, very powerful. And just by us chanting, we can actually overcome all the evil effects of this materialistic day and age we live in. It's like a vaccine that prevents us from all the bad influences. We get spiritual nourishment. Otherwise, you know, most people, they just think that they are the body. It's a very, very sign of a low conscious person, according to the ancient teachings of India. If anybody identifies themselves with the body and lives on the bodily concept, we all know what bodily concept is. We live in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. You know, it's just, that's like a symptom of a very low class person. A symptom of an Aryan, a symptom of a high class person is that he understands that he's a spiritual being, he's a spirit soul. And he's in the body. But we don't take the bodily concept. It's like, you know, somebody asks Prabhupada, why do you shave your head? Prabhupada said, you know, people have all kinds of illusion about the hair. It's true, it's like a billion-dollar industry. All the shampoos and conditioners and hair colors and oils and saloons and you name it. But Prabhupada said, we just shave it off. What's the big deal? So this is bodily concept. To think, identify with the hair, with the teeth, with the nail, with the eyebrows, with the jeans, with the teeth. This is Maya. But a sign of an advanced person is he understands that he's a spirit soul. He has nothing to do with this material world. This is like a transit launch, as we started off saying. And we don't belong here. We have to progress. It's like in this news, there was this lady in China. She's given birth to this child. And she developed some kind of disease after she gave birth to this child. And a 20-year-old girl all of a sudden started to look like a 70-year-old woman. They're showing videos of before and after, just few weeks before, a few weeks after. And it's true, you know, with the technology, there's evidence that she was young, nice-looking, healthy-looking young girl, and all of a sudden looked like 78-year-old person. So what was the conclusion? She wanted to kill the child and take her life. She doesn't want to live anymore. She just... But I was just thinking, you know, this is the result of bodily concept of life. There's so many examples we can give, but this is just one example. We have no right to kill somebody's life, and we have no right to even take our own life. Just because we look in a certain way, we don't even want to live. You know, how superficial is that? I mean, it's sad because, you know, the face is like the signature. You know, everybody wants to look nice, but if something happens that you don't look nice anymore, then you don't even want to live. That means, you know, you don't value your life. You're not seeing how, you know, you're responsible for this child becoming free from repeated birth and death. You're given this rare human form of life. You have to develop your spiritual consciousness and you have to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. So much responsibility. Just like just because I look in a certain way, I would rather die. You know? So it's a very unfortunate time we live in. So those of us, we are fortunate and intelligent enough to come this far to approach a spiritual path and take our time to hear and understand and practice, we have to take it seriously. We're like this shining lamp for this dark age, this dark world. Each one of us is so valuable. Because there's so much illusion out there. We have to help, we have to progress. No matter who we are, there's always room for improvement. We have so much work for ourselves to grow spiritually. And whoever we come across, we shouldn't be shy to tell them about, you know, we shouldn't be shy to tell them the truth. Because this could be the last time you get to meet them and they could just die and become an animal. That's how the science works. It's like this first president of India, this great astrologer, predicted that next life he was a dog in Switzerland. It's true. So in 1 minute, you know, you're just like president of India, so much opulence and respect and worship. Yeah, prime minister, whatever. So you lost your high position. And, you know, it's very, very risky, very risky. You're given few years in your hands. And you don't use it properly, then it's very scary. So thank you for your time and attention. Like I said, you're all very valuable to this planet. You're not ordinary people. According to Krishna, you're all Mahatmas. Sa Mahatma Sudurlaba, Krishna says. Anybody who takes his time to hear and glorify Krishna, it's a very rare soul. Does anybody have any quick question or comment or any realizations? Yes, Prabhu. Can you speak a little louder? Nice question. Prabhu is asking that we come together and we feel enlivened. But when you go back into the working world, then it's hard to keep that consciousness, that focus. Well, this age, like we discussed, is bad, but it's got so much technology. It's very beneficial. It's like nowadays there's so much you can be so Krishna conscious through internet and, you know, iPhone and all kinds of, you know, facilities there. So we have to be enthusiastic and proactive. It's like, you know, I think it's Ford that said, if somebody says I can't do it and someone says I can do it, both of them are right. Because that's what they will do. So you can be enthusiastic and, you know, take any opportunity you get to tune into. Like, for example, there is this radios I have in my phone. Radio of Radhanath Maharaj, of Prabhupada, and, you know, so many channels are there. And any time I'm doing puja or taking breakfast or driving, I just turn it on. Instantly you're, you know, hearing so much music, CDs, DVDs available, you know, laptops and internet. We have to, nowadays it's just like one click away. Just like you can, just one click away, you can go into deep illusion. Like porn and wars and so much nonsense information out there. Similarly, just one click away, you can enter into the spiritual world. So we have to be proactive. Because Maya's business is not to educate us. The world we're in, it's not, it's a kingdom of Maya, it's a kingdom of illusion. So here you don't expect justice and truth and education and all that. So we have to take our time, make time to, at home, do our chanting. If you're not able to do your chanting in the morning, do it in the afternoon or evening, whenever you do it, just do it nicely. Turn off the phones and internet and babies and focus on Krishna, you know. Whenever you do, whatever you do, since you're already doing it, it's just a question of doing it nicely. Chanting, reading, listening. And of course, for working people, like you're a good example, we have to give the fruits. That's the dharma of the working person. A working person is not expected to live like a saint. It's like you keep earning millions of dollars and then that goes into your account. And then, you know, and then what? No, that fruits, Krishna says, you have to give it to Him. At least some portion of it. So Krishna says, that's the duty of the working person, grihastha ashram. Those of you that are married, you know, the dharma is to feed devotees, have home programs, have kirtans, give in charity, serve like that, take a humble position and serve. It's very easy actually, very, very easy. We just want to do it, and then like Prabhupada was saying in this morning class, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam. Krishna says, if you want to serve Him, He will give you all kinds of intelligence how to serve Him. Does that make sense? Yeah, Prabhu is asking about spiritual guru. We have many gurus that visit us and pass through. So you can hear from them and then choose one. So thank you again. Enjoy your dinner. Hare Krishna.